This podcast is being brought to you by Stellar Blu Technologies, the official website developer, multimedia company of the Mile of Music. Please check us out at stellarbluetechnologies.com. The Mile of Music offers 1 mile of free musical performances with over 200 artists as well as over 900 shows throughout the 4-day event. This is a must-attend annual event in the Fox Cities, and it's growing every year. Over 80,000 people attended in 2018, and it's even getting bigger every year. I'd really like to introduce you to Heather Sitka. Thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Hey, I just wanted to ask you, you know, Mile of Music. What's been your experience? How'd you hear about it?
Yeah.
You know, what's been your...
So this is my second year playing it. I had intended to apply or get on their radar for some years prior to that. Maybe 5 years ago, some friends of mine in the area said, oh, you should come do this festival. Everybody's just like you, you know, people like you who write songs. And I was like, yeah, okay, we'll see. Like, original music festival in Appleton, I don't know if I figured they were misinformed, like that the festival probably wasn't for folks like me. And then when I realized that all my friends were doing it, everyone kept telling me what a good time it was, I was like, oh, okay, I got to do this festival. Yeah.
A lot of them saying it's like homecoming week. They see all their friends and
it's
people.
Surreal. Yeah, I mean, I've got friends from Nashville, friends from across the Midwest, friends from New York. I ran into a pal last year who I hadn't seen in ages because we've played a festival in Northern Maine. I mean, it's just like, everybody comes here. I mean, people you would not expect to find in Appleton are all here.
Well, that's good. That's cool. You know, you've been touring all over the U.S. and parts of Canada. In fact, your next album, Is North, is based on that tour. So
share
with us a little bit about that album and your experiences and so on and so forth.
Sure, yeah. I've been touring full-time-ish for the past 10 years or so, and I've been expanding from mostly Midwest. I lived in Maine for a little bit, so I toured in the Northeast a lot, and I love heading to places I've never been, and then even more than that, I love heading to places that I have been and developed this bond with a lot of the towns that, you know, people ask me, you know, what's your favorite state, what's your favorite city, and my answers often surprise them. I mean, obviously I love Chicago, but I love places like Appleton. I love Kansas City. I love Tulsa. I mean, like, a lot of people in Chicago would be surprised to hear my answers of all the places that I love, but I'm always kind of tempted to move to the places that I'm at, and of course there's always someone there, like London, Ontario, being like, come on, you belong here, and I'm like, I feel like I belong here, I should move, but also, like, you can't belong everywhere, so the
as much as you'd like,
yeah,
that. It's
yeah.
hard to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard to just know where you fit, and part of the kind of take home message in North is like trying to find a place where you fit, or maybe just trying to come to terms with the fact that like your home is home, and that like you can have other homes, but that's home, and like this is the country that we've got. Like, we do the best that we can with it. That's the town I've got. It's not the best town. This isn't the best country. Well, it is the best country, but like it's there's work to be done. There's always going to have work to be done, but that doesn't mean you turn your back on your hometown. And I feel that really strongly about Chicago, but also a lot of the places where I go, and I find that there are so many small towns that maybe had this industrial past or this sort of glorious age, whether it was in the late 1800s or much more recently, and the factories closed down, something happened. But now there are people turning it around and putting, like, new cool spots where all the old stuff was. Like, it's good to see.
Appleton for a long time was paper.
Yeah.
That's evolved considerably, so.
Yeah. When I hear about, like, some of the knowing some folks who live here, and we'll go hang out at some bar or some place, and they'll be like, oh, do you know what this was before? Do you know what this was before? And it's amazing to hear how this city has evolved. Even from when I was a kid coming through here, it's so different from what it was before.
Cool. You know, I understand you think a lot about individual communities. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
So this is a great segue. And, you know, we create and how music connects us all. So, you know, to kind of segue off what you just said, how does that all tie together in terms of how music and how it affects people?
Yeah, well, so, Dar Williams, a great, great folk singer, put out a book in which she was talking about, like, kind of how to patch up things in our country. Like, all you need is like a coffee shop and an open mic and like a community hang. Like, and it's a good point that what we're building in these individual places matters so much. I mean, I'm just astonished at some of the places I go. Maybe don't have a reputation for like being the coolest place on the planet, and yet there are people there making it the coolest place on the planet. And I know that because they welcome me with open arms, and there's community built around music. There's community built around other arts things, but especially music. It brings people together in a way that, like, they might have different belief systems. They might have different ideas of what needs to be done to make the community better, but we can all agree that that's a really good song, you know, and it made us feel something. So that makes me hopeful.
Cool. Sounds good. In the song Cities of the North, you talk about a bucket list of things. Share with us what that means. What you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I said that I had been going through my own bucket list, and I suppose that was a bit more metaphorical than it's not like I've listed out my bucket list, but a lot of times I'll have people coming to me and saying, like, it's so cool that you followed your dream, you're traveling, you're living the dream, and, like, that's true. It's also hard. It's a hard life, for sure. But, like, on that bucket list is, like, going to places like the Grand Canyon or just touring through places I never thought I'd end up.
You chose the right career path to do that, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and it just kind of evolved. I mean, it's, I never really thought that I would, be going to the places that I've been or just meeting the people that I've met. You just don't know how it's going to happen. So partly it's like the bucket list chose me. Like, I didn't make this bucket list. I have done the thing. Like, if I were to die tomorrow, like, knock on wood, that's not going to happen. But I'd be all right with, like, the life that I've lived thus far.
Oh, that's,
and
that's
pretty wild to feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Not to have things left undone, per se.
Right. I mean,
very
of course,
cool.
There's always something else to do with somewhere else to go, but I feel all right with the time I've had. Yeah.
I hear you. You know, you're clearly an accomplished poet. I've listened to a lot of your stuff, and you hear the poetry, and, you know, you put your soul into your music. There's no doubt about that. And there's a line in the song that's very powerful. I'm not sure about pursuing happiness. I'd rather chase down those things that I'm at my best. And I was really moved by that. Share with your fans, you know, the
yeah.
Power. Yeah,
I'm glad you picked up on that line. That's one that I like. I'm not so sure about pursuing happiness. I'd rather chase down those moments that I'm at my best.
Yeah,
we put a lot of emphasis on our right to be happy, but I'm not really sure what that means. I'd rather be satisfied. That's not a bad situation, to always be reaching for something else. It's kind of a human experience, and I get these fleeting moments of happiness. I'm on the whole a happy person. I feel very fortunate, but I know when I've been like my best self. I know when I've really been doing the things that I've wanted to do, and for me, that is more important than happiness. I mean, it's easy to be joyful. That happens a lot in my life. I often have a lot of glee in the moments that, you know, I'm delighted. But, like, happiness is a vague term. I'd rather be contented. I'd rather be satisfied. And sometimes that means doing the hard work in circumstances that are less than joyful.
Yeah, I think why it moved me, because I really thought it was a powerful statement.
Thank you.
Are you more inspired about writing about life's lows or life's highs?
Yeah. I suppose that last line kind of leads us to the answer, right? I'm definitely, I think so many writers, I don't want to just write bummer songs, and I do want there to always be a, like, little kernel of hope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any of my songs to be hopeless or to make people feel hopeless, because I don't believe that that's my role as a musician. But to explore those things that are hard means that I can give that as a gift to other people going through hard. I don't really know what, you know, if I write a happy song that's just purely happy, people can dance to it, but I'm not very good at that. And there's enough dance music out there. You know, that it will be written by people who love to play songs to make you wiggle. And, I mean, ideally, I'd like to, like, make you dance and cry a little bit.
Cool. You know, there's a strong self-reflection in a lot of personal experiences that you share in your music.
Yeah.
And you definitely seem to write from your breadth of experience and your feelings and your emotions. So, you know, when you're inspired to write a poem or lyrics, you know, are the lyrics, are there any hidden messages, anything cryptic in there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I know a lot of people who really exclusively write from this standpoint that, like, everything is something to be decoded. I'm pretty straightforward. Like, if I say that I was in Boston, that just means I was in Boston. But also what I mean by singing some line about being in Boston is, like, it means something different to me than it does to you, you know? So I think there are a lot of images that could be interpreted in different ways, different places, different things that could be symbolic or not. But really, on the whole, everything I write is my vulnerable, heartfelt truth. Every so often, it's narrative and it's not actually about me at all. But usually, what you see is what you get. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was listening to your music. It's great. You know, one song, Contented, there's a real, there's a line really that had a profound meaning. These buildings give me shade, but they do not bend in the wind. Yeah, and that's very metaphoric in a manner of speaking and very visual kind of a illustration. I'd really love to know what that means from your perspective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know how it affected me. I just want to know what you were saying.
I'm glad you picked up on that line. That song is, I wrote it when I was living in Chicago and kind of wishing that I lived somewhere less urban. And shortly thereafter, I ended up moving to Maine for a little while. I was feeling pretty disconnected with the natural world. And, I mean, I grew up coming up this direction. I'm from Chicago, but I grew up going every summer to a cabin in Forest County near Wabino, or Crannon would be probably the closest.
Nice
town.
Area. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous up there. And it's funny because, I mean, I definitely do consider myself a city person, and that, like, it doesn't stress me out to be in traffic or to be taking transit or to be, like, brushing shoulders with strangers. Like, it's all good. I enjoy it. But there is something missing when I'm just surrounded by concrete for long periods of time. And I guess for me, that line, these buildings give me shade, but they do not bend in the wind, was just like, it's not an appropriate substitute. I enjoy going to the park and seeing the trees there, but it's kind of like a tree zoo. You know, they're beautiful, but it's not wilderness. And there's something that you find, you know, even the most urban person finds something transformative when put in, like, true wilderness. That's just part of our nature, I think. There's something to be said for both lives, but I feel ill if I don't every so often.
You're
get a little bit of that.
I know, in artificial environment, being closed in, kind of lose touch of the weather.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people that choose the subsistence lifestyle talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
About, you know, being able to partake of nature.
Yeah. There's, I mean, it's funny, like, a lot of people will kind of consider that to be some sort of new age philosophy, or just like, oh, well, you know, of course you could think that way if, you know, you want to go vacationing in some beautiful place. Like, not everyone can. And that's true, but it's a right of every human to be able to take time in the quiet of nature. I mean, even people that find it frustrating or slow-paced or boring, if they gave it a little longer, I think would find something there that would surprise them within themselves.
I think introspection there is really the key to
comfort
there. If you're introspective and comfortable in your own skin,
totally,
it's cool. If you like a lot of activity and noise around you, then it's not so much.
Yeah, yeah. It can be really daunting to someone who is accustomed to the hustle bustle. But I think for them it's especially important to give it a shot.
Well, it's been my experience that poets have a real rich internal life.
Yes.
You know, and I can see that being playing out very well in the wilderness, offering that time for quiet self-reflection, deep thought, those kinds of things.
Yeah, know. It's a meditative place.
Cool. Anything else you'd like to share with your fans?
Gosh. Well, you know, so that latest record, North, came out. We actually recorded it at that cabin in northern Wisconsin with a band from Denmark called The Sentimentals. And that came out this past year. I've been loving touring on it and working on the next one. So there'll be an EP coming out soon. Yeah, just keeping busy, and it's so good to be back at Miles.
Great. Share with your fans where you can find your music.
Yeah, so as a kind of a home base, you can start at heatherstyka, STYKA.com. But also, if you go to look me up on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, all of those places where you ordinarily stream things, just heatherstyka, STYKA. But also, on my website, you can sign up for my mail list. You can find me on all the various social medias, basically wherever you might find a person. You can find me.
Heather, thanks so much for coming in. We really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us. So, you know, we want to be sure to add the Mile of Music to your must-attend summer festivals. There's no other venue where you can experience more music that is absolutely free. 60 locations, 200 artists, 900 shows. Stellar Blue Technologies, the official website developer and multimedia company for the Mile of Music, wants to thank Heather Sitka for coming in and for spending her valuable time with us. We do really appreciate it. Thank you.